Hey everybody, I'm Rudy Carney, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 3 of the Preparing Your Family podcast. Before we really get started, I do want to apologize again about last week. I just didn't have the energy to do anything at all last Wednesday night. Work has been incredibly stressful for me the last 6 weeks or so, and I just needed a little bit of time off to relax and kind of chill out and spend some extra time with my wife and honestly go to bed early. I spend my evenings after the kids and my wife go to bed working on preparing your family and writing stuff and recording podcasts and whatnot. So if I get burned out for other reasons, the blogging and whatnot tends to bear the brunt of that. But today I just wanted to touch on a few things that are going on here. I'm going to share a couple thoughts on the glorious premiere of the National Geographic Channel's Doomsday Preppers, which I'm guessing some of you saw, and talk a little bit about some of the projects I'm working on, and I think that's about it. So that said, let's go ahead and jump right in. So here in the Carney household, we're getting ready for gardening season to begin. We've, of course, had a bit of a mild winter, with the exception of our snowpocalypse event a few weeks back. But it's getting to be that time where we need to start some of our plants, tomatoes and peppers and things like that. And so we're finalizing the list of what we're growing. We're really focusing on growing things that we eat, and not really the things that, oh, this sounds like we might like to eat, but really focusing on what do we eat a lot of, and growing, really just growing for that, as opposed to growing something just because it sounds cool. We'll definitely have some of the sounds cool category in the garden, but by and large, most of it's going to be very practical this year. I'm hoping to get a really good tomato crop this year, and peppers as well. That's always a dicey proposition here in the Seattle area, but you never know. I'm going to try and start them a little bit earlier this year, and hopefully, I'll have a greenhouse ready for them to go into, and theoretically that should help out quite a bit. On the beekeeping front, I haven't been able to get out to check on them this spring. I'm kind of concerned because, like I said, we've had a fairly mild winter, and that means that they're digging into their stores and eating a lot more than they may normally eat when the weather's cold. But if you recall, I had my little mishap with my knee and dislocated my knee and was unable to get my bees properly prepared for winter, so hopefully they were able to do most of that themselves. I did leave them with some food, some extra food, but they've kind of been on their own, so we'll see how they pan out. I'm hoping they're still alive and doing well, but I won't know for sure until I get out there. I do plan on adding at least one, maybe two new bee yards this year, and trying to get some stuff that's a little bit closer into my home, and as well as maybe getting a bit of a variety in location. That said, if you're in the north area, kind of a bit north of Seattle but south of Everett, Washington, and you're interested in hosting some of my bees, let me know. Send me an email. Now on to Doomsday Preppers. I have to say this show annoys me. Definitely so far not a huge fan. My wife and I sat down and watched part of the first episode, and we watched the pilot that they had aired, must have been several months ago at this point. And it's very, very focused on single topics. They're taking these people, and I'm guessing these folks are not as single-dimensional as they make them out to be on TV. They take people, and honestly, they make them look like kooks, and I don't like it very much. I don't think it treats those folks very appropriately. I don't think it puts what's the best way of putting this? I don't think it puts us into a positive light either. It makes the rest of us look like kooks, because there's a whole lot of people out there that don't understand how reality TV works and don't understand how much of it is scripted and how much of it's cut out and how much of it is really focused to send a message that the producer of the show wants to send. So there's going to be a lot of folks out there that are looking at it and thinking, well, all preppers are like that, and everyone's focusing on, you know, the one mega apocalypse that could happen, and to heck with all the rest of it. And as we all know, that's really not the case. We prepare for anything that could happen, not just one single monolithic event. I am kind of curious to see if there's any type of uptick in folks joining the prepper community because of this show. I'm guessing not, but you never know. It's entirely possible. I'll certainly be kind of watching traffic to my blog and other blogs, and if by chance you happen to hear this and you joined because of this show, please let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Not sure yet if we're going to keep watching it. I think we'll finish out the first episode and watch the second one. The one kind of neat part about it, I suppose, is you do get exposed to some of the ways that other people do things, and could certainly gain some valuable skills or alternative, not necessarily skills, but alternative ways of doing things that you may not have thought of. So, you know, there's maybe a bit of a silver lining to that. I do have to admit that reality TV is kind of a guilty pleasure. My wife and I like to sit down and watch, you know, Axemen and, you know, Deadliest Catch and those types of shows. So, you know, we may be inclined to do this. I'd love to hear what you guys think about that show. So, you know, go back to the blog after you listen to this and leave me a comment and let me know. So the next thing I want to talk about is a product that I'm working on, and it's all about food and water storage. Going to try and cover it from a beginner's perspective. So those of you out there who have been doing this for a very long time may not particularly be interested, but you never know, you might learn a thing or two. Probably kind of 101 to 102 level stuff. Not 100% sure what the curriculum is going to look like yet. When I know more, I'll certainly let you guys know. But I'm thinking about putting in some customizable plans where you can tell me, you know, I have this many kids and this many adults and I want to store food for this long, and above and beyond your basic calculator, it'll tell you certainly how much you need, but it'll also give you a plan on how to get there and how to get there in a reasonable fashion without breaking the bank. So that's something I'm working on. If you have anything that you'd like to know about for food storage or water storage, do let me know so that I can integrate it into this this book. Now, the other thing that I'm considering doing is having kind of a free online, prepping 101 type class for folks that are very new to prepping, or maybe aren't even sure if they should prep or why they should prep or anything like that. So this would be a perfect thing for you to refer your friends to, or your reluctant spouse or family members. And certainly a need that I've seen for a while, and I don't see anyone out there really doing it in a way that's accessible to folks that aren't already bought in, that haven't already drunk the Kool-Aid. So I'd love to hear whether you think this would be useful or not. This would ideally be something that you can take to and refer people to. Be fairly light. I don't want to go all heavy duty. I don't know if you've seen Chris Martinson's Crash Course, which is very good, but it's also pretty heavy and tends to scare the crud out of you if you watch it for the first time and you don't really know necessarily what's going on. So I don't want to do that. I want to keep it light. I just want to talk about things practically and from a sense of being prepared out of from from a sense of prudent preparedness as opposed to fear-based preparedness. Love to hear what you have to think about this, if this is something that you think is useful as well. So please let me know, send me an email or drop me a comment. So that's it for tonight. I'm going to keep this a little bit short. I have bacon in the oven. I know that sounds a little bit odd, but my lovely bride cooks breakfast for our children every morning. God bless her. And so I'm making life a little bit easier for her by cooking up the bacon for her tonight, the night before, while I'm doing my work. And that will let her have a little bit more time to relax in the morning and not quite have to work as hard as she might otherwise. So that timer is about to go off here in a minute. By the way, if you don't cook your bacon in the oven, you should really try that. It's fantastic. You just take a cookie sheet, and you can either put a kind of a roasting pan type thing, or which is what we use, or you could put a cooling rack over it and drape your bacon and pop it into a 375 or so degree oven for anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how crispy you like it, and walk away. No grease splatter, no nothing. It's fantastic. But enough about bacon. And, oh, actually, one more thing. On the bacon note, funny that this reminds me, but my folks are and us have been talking about running some hogs and picking up some wiener piglets here in a month or two, and raising them up and slaughtering them this fall. If any of you have any experience with that, please let me know. I'd like to pick your brain a little bit and make sure that what we're doing is kind of the right thing. And as with all of our experiments, I'm sure we will be documenting this amply on the blog. But so I gotta go get my bacon out of the oven. So have a great night, folks, and I will talk to you next week. Take care.